We're doing the book of Yov. We're up to what's called the 31st chapter, the 36th Pasuk. Lamed Aleph, Lamed Vav. What we had seen, we had a long break, so we'll do a quick review. Yov was an unusually pious man, and in heaven it was decreed that he should suffer, and he lost his children, and he lost his wealth, and he lost his health, and he suffered tremendously, and his friends come and try to explain to him why God is doing this to him. And every friend has his long speech explaining why Eov deserves this or why he shouldn't question God. And to each one, Eov says, "You're wrong. I don't deserve it. And what God's doing here isn't fair, and there's no way to understand it. And you can't try to explain to me that the good have it good and the bad have it bad because I was good and I'm having it bad. And there's no explanation you could give me because nothing you're saying makes sense." And in this section, Eov had described his tremendous kindness. And now he never even had an inkling of a thought that was improper. He wouldn't even look at a woman who was a virgin. Even if he was dating her, he'd say, but maybe she won't end up being my wife, so I shouldn't look at her. I shouldn't end up thinking about someone who's someone else's wife. And Eov concluded last time in Pasuk Lamed Hey, Eov said, "Mi yiten li shomea li." Who would give me a person who could hear me out? And a person who could hear that I've done nothing wrong. Hein tavi, my desire, shakaya aneni, is that let God answer me. What have I ever done wrong to deserve this? That's what I desire. V'sefer katav ish rivi. And Eov says, I desire either for God to answer me, or that someone who could actually argue with me should write down a record, a book, of this argument, so that for years people could analyze this and see who's in the right. Who's done something wrong, Eov is saying. And this is slightly comical, We're reading the book of Eov, where Eov says, I wish someone would write this down and let the generations judge who's in the right. And Eov is continuing. And we were reading it with the traditional tune, the Chalabi tune, and then explaining. Im lo al shichmi esa'enu. If only I could find someone who could do what I just asked for. Either God should argue back with me, or or someone to record this. And Eov is saying in lo, which is like a vow, al shichmi esa'enu. I'd carry the person on my shoulder just out of thanks that he'd write this down. E'endenu atarot. I'd tie him like a crown to my head. And then I would adorn him atarotli as a crown for me. I wish I could have someone who would just record what we're discussing. Mispartze adai agidenu. I would recount to him the exact footsteps, the number of footsteps that I took. I'll tell him everything that's about my life. Kimon nagid akarevenu, and I'd bring him close, just like people try to get close to the leaders. If I could have someone who would only record my thoughts, I'd bring him so close. Im alai admati tizak. Eov says, if my earth would testify before God about me, that I stole it. V'yachad tilamea yivkayun, and would the furrows, tilamea, the furrows, if they would weep together that I took them unlawfully. Eov is saying, would that happen? It wouldn't happen, because it's not true. Im alai admati tizak, would my earth cry about me? Would my earth say that I stole it? It's metaphorical. I mean, he's saying, I never stole a piece of earth. Would my furrows weep over what I've done to them that I stole them? No, because they were legally mine. I never took anything from anyone. Im kocha achalti velo kasef. Did I ever eat the strength of my field without paying good money for it? Venefesh bealeha hipachti. And did I ever hurt the soul of its first owners? Did I ever take it without paying full price? Do I have anything in my possession? Did I take land that I didn't pay full price for? Tachat chita if I ever did this, then my punishment should be that instead of wheat growing where I planted, Yetzei choach. Instead of wheat growing, then let thorns grow. Choach is a type of a thorn. V'tachat se'ora v'asha. And instead of barley growing, let this bad plant called vasha. Ba'ush means rotten, means bad. And it's a type of like bad grape that grows instead of barley. It says, if I ever stole land, if I ever had land in my possession that I did not pay full price for, let thorns grow instead of wheat. Let basha, which is some type of bad plant, grow. Let rotten fruits grow instead of barley. Tamu divrei Iyov. And Iyov says, that's it. Iyov's speech is finished. Iyov says, I've already described how honest and just I am. I've already described how much I've suffered and how painful it is. And I've described how, I've done nothing to deserve this and no one's proven me wrong. So what else can I say? So Iyov describes how powerful he was. Iyov has described his success. Iyov describes that he used his success to help others and how he's gone from extreme honor to extreme the depths of being shamed by the lowest of the low, even the youngsters, even the lowest people in society, the families that no one wants to have anything to do with them, they come and they afflict him and they hurt him. And Iyov says, I didn't do anything to deserve this. Iyov describes how he can't even sleep at night. They're waiting to pounce on him. And Iyov went through these chapters now explaining how he's led a very just and kind life. And he says, let anyone judge whether I deserve this or not. And this brings us to a pivotal point in the book. Vayishbitu shiloshet ha'anashim ha'ele me'anot et Iyov. So Iyov's three friends, they stopped answering Iyov. Ki hu tzadik ve'einav. Because Iyov thinks that he is the most just. In his own eyes, Iyov is perfect. He's done nothing wrong. And so they feel like they can't tell him anything because Iyov sees himself as perfect. Vayicharaf Elihu ben Barachel Habuzi Mimishpachat Ram. So there's a fourth friend who's been sitting on the sidelines and he never spoke. That's Elihu ben Barachel. And he got very upset. He's from the family of Ram. Ram is from the family of Buz. So Buz is one of the children of Nahor, the brother of Avram. And he got very upset over Iyov, that Iyov thinks he's more perfect than God, and that what God's done is unfair. So he got very upset at all this. Be'iyov chara'apo. He got upset at Iyov. Al tzadeko nafsho me'elohim. Because Iyov feels that he is more just than God is. And Iyov says the only way this could work is if God is not involved in the world. God doesn't give payback for people leading a just life. And God just left everything in the hands of nature, in the hands of the stars. God can't be involved if he's suffering like this. And that bothered Iyov. Uvishloshet re'av chara apo. And he also got upset at Iyov's three friends. Because they weren't smart enough to figure out an answer for Iyov. And they implicated, and here, the Pasuk should really say, point the finger up above. But our sages switched it and said they implicated Iyov, when really, and the fact that they didn't have a good answer for Iyov, who are they implicating? Not Iyov, but rather God. We don't want to say that, so that's why they changed the wording here, that they implicated Iyov, which is not what he means to say. He got upset. He said, if they have no answer for Iyov, it's as though they're saying Iyov's right, and then the implication goes the other way. What?
Does that mean that they changed the words?
Excellent question.
The written words in Iyov?
It's a long discussion. Technically, the pasuk, so to speak, is wording it lashon saginaho. The pasuk is saying the reverse of what the pasuk means. Sometimes the pasuk, we call it a tikkun sofrim, where the pasuk, so to speak, words it in a way that the pasuk means the opposite of what it says, but it doesn't want to say it. So the pasuk is saying, you know, they implicated Eov, and the pasuk doesn't mean they implicated Eov. Pasuk, one could understand that they caused Eov to be more wicked, because if they're vindicating, if they're telling Eov, you know, you're right, so then Eov's just going to go his own way.
Does this mean that things were rewritten, right?
That does not necessarily mean that. That's what we have to discuss. Ve'elihu chika et Eov bidvarim. So Elihu, till now he was waiting. He didn't answer Eov anything. He kept thinking. But from the beginning, Eov had Elihu had an answer, but he didn't say anything. Because they were older than him. Everyone else was older than him, so Elihu is waiting on the sidelines, but he's upset. Vayar Elihu ki ein ma'ane b'fi shloshet ha'anashim v'yicharapo. So when Eov saw that they have no answer, then he got upset and he isn't going to wait anymore. And next time we're going to pick up with Eov's famous response. So with Elihu. Elihu is now going to start his famous speech, which is going to carry us almost till the end of the book, until God enters the picture. Elihu's going to talk and talk and talk and talk, and then God is going to talk, and Eov's going to talk. But this is it. We're up to the last section of the book.